Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Welcome to KMOX. No, this is not the dulcet tones of Ryan Recker. It's Brad Young sitting in for the under the weather Ryan Recker this evening. And speaking of under the weather, boy, those Cardinals. Offense, non-existent. Offense has got a virus, maybe, kind of like maybe Ryan's got. I'm not sure what the problems are, but guys, you got to get it together. We got one more game. We got to get that together tomorrow. But I'm glad you're with us this evening. And just think of me as your on-air psychiatrist this evening. Now, listen, I am an attorney. My law firm, you know my law firm, Harris, Dowell, Fisher & Young. So in a way, I am a doctor. I mean, I'm a juris doctor, okay? But still, I'm a doctor. So if you feel the need this evening to, you know, just to unwind, to get it off your chest, to tell me how you're dealing with this punch in the gut from the third loss in the LCS, give us a call. Phone lines will be open this evening at 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. You know, there's lots of stuff in the news. We're not going to dwell on the Cardinals, obviously, unless there's some therapy. And by the way, if you do need therapy, you know, I bill by the hour. That's, as an attorney, I bill by the hour. Very expensive, but I do bill by the hour. So if you want some counseling about, you know, about the Cardinals and their hole that they've dug themselves into, I will be taking credit card numbers offline before you come on so we can just, you know, bill those credit cards for your therapy time. It'll be very easy. Use your Discover card. You'll get 1% back on that $350 an hour that I normally charge, you know, for services rendered. So feel free again to give us a call, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. 1120. But we've got other things to talk about that are in the news this evening, and, you know, just to get our minds off the misery, because it is a punch in the gut. And as I was listening to Chris Raby and Joe talking about the, you know, after the game and analyzing the game, and I thought, this is a punch in the gut. It occurred to me that it's a punch in the gut, you know, kind of like the liberals seeing Ellen DeGeneres this weekend hanging out with Bush 43. Did you see that story? It, like Mark Ruffalo, God bless him, he just went berserk on social media over the weekend because Ellen DeGeneres had the nerve to go to a football game, hang out with George H.W. Bush, 43, and they were having some laughs, they were yucking it up, but it was just a punch in the gut to the liberals, again, kind of like the outcome of the Cardinals game this evening. Or I guess it could also be a punch in the gut, sort of like just a horrific event, like the media reacting to the lack of violence at the Joker screenings. I mean, have you caught that? That's been in the news. Last week when the Joker movie came out, I have no intention to see the Joker movie. I mean, I enjoy superhero movies like The Next Guy, but I really don't have any intent to see that movie just because I know it's going to be very violent and that's not something I need to fill my mind with. So I probably won't see it. But still, the way the media has reacted to the Joker movie, I mean, they were basically coming on the air and predicting that, you know, if you're a white male between the ages of 20 and 35, you're just going to be loading up on the hunting rifles and heading down to your Walmart to shoot up the place because of the Joker movie coming out. Now, thank God that didn't happen. None of that happened. And it would be obviously horrific if it did. But I'm not mocking shooting events, folks. I'm mocking the fact that the media was predicting this was going to happen because, from the media's perspective, again, if you're that white male between the ages of 20 and 35, apparently you spend every evening, you know, like Rambo in the first Rambo movie where he's sharpening the sticks and he's loading the machine guns, just looking, itching, looking for that opportunity to go out and shoot up the place. That's what the media thinks of, again, white males between the ages of 20 and 35. So the fact that nothing happened to me is fantastic, because who wants shootings? Nobody does. So it's good news, but it's also good news because it just kind of further mocks the media that really treats us all as this monolithic group of, you know, white men that really only have one thing in mind, and it apparently deals with guns. So I'm glad nothing happened, but it was a punch in the gut to the media as well. But we've got lots of things on tap tonight, and we're going to get through them in the next couple of 2 or 3 hours this evening. Happy Columbus Day. Did you know it was Columbus Day? Well, unless you work at a bank, I'm not sure that you would. Most businesses were still open. But, you know, here's the one thing I miss. You know, Columbus Day is usually marked by mattress sales. And I'm just waiting for the day that Bill Clinton goes and does advertising for mattress sales. I really want President Clinton to come out, and I wish I could do Cole's laughing behind the panel there. But, you know, I wish I could do a Bill Clinton impression, because you could just imagine Bill Clinton coming out, you know, and selling mattresses and saying, "These have my personal stamp of approval," you know. I mean, you could see that on a mattress day sale. "I'm President Clinton. I've personally used these mattresses on 17 occasions," you know. And but of course, at that point, I don't know who would really want to buy them, but he would be a very good spokesman. And on Columbus Day, he could certainly go out and sell some mattresses. But it is Columbus Day. And we're going to talk a little bit about all the controversy about Columbus Day. Why is it controversial? Why is it celebrated? Why do we care? We're going to talk about those things, because it's obviously something that's leading the news cycle. When you see statues of Christopher Columbus defaced, defamed, and vandalized, even though the guy never set foot in what became the United States of America. The guy never stepped foot here, and yet today he is maligned and vilified for things that mostly he never did. So we'll get into those issues. I've got a whole big stack of stuff that we're going to get through this evening. But if there's something on your mind, if there's some post-Cardinals blues that you need to just work out of your system, we'll be happy to help you this evening on KMOX. Phone lines are open, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120 on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. Welcome back to KMOX. Overnight America, Brad Young sitting in for the ailing Ryan Recker. Ryan, God bless you, buddy. Hope you come back tomorrow. Hope you feel better as quickly as possible. We've got lots of things on tap for this evening, and I highlighted some of them before the last break. But again, if you need to get some, you know, Cardinals ill feelings off your chest, you know, kind of think of me as your on-air Valium. If you need to do that, give us a call at 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. One of the stories that I did not mention before the break, but I want to actually hit first because it's local. And if you have access to your phone or a computer right now, as long as you're not driving. Now, if you're driving, do not do this. But I would like you to go to Google News and just type in Panera. That's all you got to do, is type in Panera on your phone or in your computer in terms of Google News. And you will see a lot of stories in all the mainstream media. This story broke today, and it deals with what used to be our hometown company, Panera, until they were bought out. I think there's still basically, how many stories was that on there? How many, when you put that in, what was it, the top story?
There are a lot of top stories. Fox News, CNN, People, USA Today, Yahoo.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody and everybody.
It's a big deal. And let me tell you about it in case you're driving, and I certainly don't want you to check your phones while you're driving, because that's a recipe for disaster. Even though I'm an attorney, I'm a defense attorney. So I'm the guy that defends companies that get sued, so I really don't want you to get involved in any litigation here, because I do not advertise on the side of a bus. That's not me. You'll never see me on the side of a bus. I don't chase ambulances. I don't pass out. I don't pass out business cards in emergency rooms. That is not what I do. But if you put in that Panera into your Google News, here's the story. And it's fascinating because it happened right here, and I'm going to share with you a little bit more of a personal connection with this particular story. But what happened was an employee of Panera, used to be called St. Louis Bread Company, what happened was is that this person who worked at Panera exposed, and I put that term in quotes, exposed how Panera makes mac and cheese. Now, this isn't a shock to truly anyone who knows the fast food industry, knows how these businesses operate. There's not like the Swedish chef from the Muppet movie out in the back making the mac and cheese. That's not how this stuff works. So this stuff comes in packages. And so this video that an employee of Panera right here in St. Louis posted, it showed, if you watch the video, it's on every news story. In one day, this video was posted, I think, on Sunday, and I think on YouTube I saw that it had 8 or 10 million hits already in just a day. But what happened was is they take a pair of scissors and they cut open, it looks like a Ziploc bag, but they just cut it open, and after they drop it into some grease and heat it up, they cut open the bag and they pour out the mac and cheese. So it's obvious from the video that the mac and cheese is not handmade by a Swedish chef in the back room. Okay, they're just heating it up and serving it, which truly isn't shocking to anyone who knows how the fast food industry works. But this was kind of a reveal behind the scenes. This is how stuff really works. And they posted this on the social media app TikTok, which is really kind of gaining in popularity with the tween crowd and the less than 20 crowd and even some in the 20s. I've got three daughters, and my youngest daughter is 16, and I know she uses TikTok, so I've got to keep track of this stuff, just to try to keep relevant. So in any event, though, this video shows how they make mac and cheese. No big deal at Panera. But what happened was is that over the weekend, the person who posted this video was fired because she posted the video. And there's two other young ladies that are involved with this video, and all three, I believe, of these young ladies, were their employment was terminated because of this video. I happen to know one of these ladies. I'm not going to mention her name, but she works at Panera, and she's briefly shown in this video for less than a second, and her employment was terminated because of this. Again, I'm not going to mention her name, but the question becomes, should employees be terminated when there's really nothing shown here that was improper? There was nothing shown here that was disgusting or showing something improper or illegal. They were following procedures when it comes to making the food, and yet they were terminated. The employment was terminated because of simply showing the reality of how the food is prepared. Is that fair from your perspective? Now, I will throw in, because I have to do this, from the legal perspective, Missouri is what's called an at-will state, employment state. That means that employers can fire any employee for any non-discriminatory reason as long as they're not union and subject to a collective bargaining agreement. So obviously Panera employees don't have a collective bargaining agreement. So if you look at it from the legal perspective, was it proper or was it legal to terminate the employee? Of course it was. Was it legal to terminate those who were in the videos? Obviously it was. But the question becomes, is it right? Was it the good thing to do? And particularly now, from a PR perspective, we've got not only the PR fallout for Panera, because the world shockingly now knows that, there's no Swedish chef in the back making the mac and cheese, that it's really just cut open a bag, heat it up, and serve it to the customer, which really anyone who ever thought about it would obviously know that that's the case. But should this employee have been fired? Should the three young ladies who were in the video have been fired? Because from my perspective, not legal, but from a public relations, from a PR perspective, to me, it's like adding insult to injury, because you've got the fallout from we don't hand make our mac and cheese combined with someone who didn't do anything wrong. They weren't, putting dirt or dead rats in the food or putting bugs in the food or doing anything that was disgusting or non-savory, unsavory. There was none of that. It was simply showing the real process in a legitimate way, kind of like a training video of how the mac and cheese is prepared at Panera, and they were terminated. So now you've got the public relations fallout from firing someone for really posting a behind the scenes, this is how things really work video. And so they're going to have to deal with not only the fallout from the food preparation, but the fallout from firing their employees at the same time. And I don't, from your perspective, is that a right thing? Is that a good thing? We're going to get into that in the next half an hour because to me it's fascinating because of, one, the St. Louis connection. Two, from my perspective, because I actually know one of the people who was terminated. But thirdly, from a legal perspective, and then fourthly, I don't know how much more I can, how many of these bullet points I can list, but I can certainly try. But fourthly, from the public relations standpoint itself, is this going to help Panera? Because it's interesting that if you read some of the comments on the videos that's posted, one of them, my favorite comments was, and I'm quoting, "Someone said Panera is just hospital food, and this proves it," unquote. So I thought that was kind of an interesting comment. And then here is the other one. "Some online users expressed that they weren't even surprised in the least by Panera Bread's apparent food preparation." Again, it's fast food. It's a faster food. It's a quick service food preparation. I like it. I go to Panera. I'll still go to Panera tomorrow and the next day. This isn't going to dissuade me from going to Panera in any way. I just think it's interesting that this happens. The young ladies are fired, and 8 million views later, it's now one of the trending stories in the United States and in North America. And again, it happened right here. If you've got some thoughts on this, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. When we come back from this break, we're going to jump into, no, not more food preparation, but we're going to talk about Columbus Day. What is Columbus Day? Why is it so controversial? Why is this a big cultural issue today because of some dude from the 1500s, 15th century, 1400s, who arrived in North America, never stepped foot in the United States, or what became the United States, obviously. But we're going to find out why that is. And also, I want your perspective on, should we even be celebrating Columbus Day? Should we be changing the name to Indigenous Peoples Day, which is what many groups are advocating today? Or can we just leave it alone? Brad Young sitting in for Ryan Recker on Overnight America. KMOX, don't go away. Welcome back to KMOX. Brad Young, Overnight America, sitting in for the ill Ryan Recker. Again, Ryan, God bless you, buddy. Hope you get better and be back in the saddle tomorrow. But I'm sitting in this evening. I'm your over-the-air antidepressant after that Cardinals gut punch this evening. It's a drug-free antidepressant, though, unlike Prozac or Zoloft or Wellbutrin or the others. I mean, it's not like I just memorized antidepressant medications, folks. I do read medical records all day, so I can rattle those off. But hopefully you won't develop any chemical addictions to listening. But as you listen to KMOX, obviously it's an on-air addiction that we are glad that you are truly addicted to KMOX. Let's go to the phone lines, and John's been holding a while. John, welcome to KMOX.
Good morning, sir. Good morning, sir. Or good evening, still.
It is.
I take a little bit of a different tact with something you said earlier.
Okay.
You commented that a lot of people don't want these shootings. Unfortunately, there are certain groups that do. This helps them keep their narrative going, how guns are bad. We have to get rid of the guns.
Mm-hmm.
And it also helps them with the victim status that they put so many of these people into because they've been impacted by gun activities. Now, the problem is, as you well know, it's an inanimate object. The gun does nothing. It's the person behind it.
John, you know what I like to tell people is guns cause murders like forks and knives cause obesity.
Touche.
Okay? I mean, it's like all of a sudden we should be banning knives and forks because the United States has an obesity problem, okay? We do. We have a serious obesity problem. And if we could just put, make a 7-day registration period for forks, that if you want to eat something with a fork, you have to go and register, and then in 7 days you will be given a fork to use to consume. Of course, it's absurd. It's absurd because we know that knives and forks don't cause obesity. People cause obesity by overeating and lack of activity. But
Mr. Young,
they don't do anything more than what guns do, which is simply used by the individuals for that purpose.
Mr. Young?
Yes, sir.
They also, if you look at the statistics, and I think it was quoted by Mark Twain, there's lies, there's damned lies, then there are statistics. And more people are killed by medical misadventure by doctors than are killed by guns.
Well, let me give you a different stat, John. And again, Google me. Don't trust me. I'm just a guy talking on the radio. But if you want to trust me when you and Google me to make sure that I'm right, but in the last year reported by the FBI statistics, which I believe was 2017, more individuals were killed in the United States with baseball bats than were killed with rifles.
Oh, yeah, the old blunt object.
The blunt object, according to the FBI, killed more people than rifles killed. But we don't see, you know, all of a sudden, we don't see legislation being proposed to ban baseball bats. Although, you know, after watching the Cardinals tonight, I think perhaps their baseball bats may have been banned. I'm not exactly sure. But the point being is that I'm just echoing your point that it's not the bats that kill people. It's the people that use them, just like with guns.
Mr. John, Young, let me ask you again, too, as being a lawyer, have you ever dealt with the criminal justice system, or is your expertise elsewhere?
In fact, my entire practice is in the area of employment law. So the closest I get to any criminal work is if I have a client that gets a speeding ticket. That's about as close as I get to any criminal law.
So you haven't really known anybody that was defended themselves with a firearm?
No, I have not, but I have, and to say this, it sounds trite, but I do have very good friends of mine who do criminal defense work who have represented individuals who have defended themselves with firearms, and they have told me about many, many, many instances where this has happened.
Yeah, I'm one of them. I didn't have any criminal charges, thankfully, but I had a drunken neighbor break into my home many years ago, and he was chasing his girlfriend who'd come over to use my phone to call the police. And I'm on the phone to the dispatcher, and he breaks the door and comes in. And I'm sitting there on the phone to the police telling him, he's here in my house. I'm pointing my gun at him. Now, get out here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the time, I weighed about 200 pounds. I was 5'7", and this gentleman was about 5'10 and 275. So he outreached and outweighed me. Fortunately, he wasn't so drunk that he didn't see me pointing the gun in, turned around and left without me firing a shot.
Excellent.
But still, it left me badly shaken.
Well, sure, it would for anyone, and I'm certainly glad that you didn't have to shoot anyone. But
so am I.
But did you have, and as I heard you tell the story, John, did you was your phone, actually you had called, and was the phone still connected with 911?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so obviously that was being recorded.
I think this was actually before 911.
Okay.
This was in the late 80s.
Well, hopefully, what comes to mind is, I don't know if you've seen or kept track of the recent Pamela Hupp story that's been taking place in St. Louis over the last several years. But whenever she recently attempted this is what actually put her behind bars, is when she killed this individual, but she did it while she was on the phone so it would be recorded by 911, except her acting skills left a lot to be desired, and it didn't fool anyone when she said, help, help, I'm being attacked. And I'm like, okay, she was reading from a script. But I'm very glad that you did not have to actually shoot anyone, but it makes the point. By just seeing that gun, the individual who was breaking into your house turned around and went the other way.
And those stats aren't reported to the FBI.
No, they're not.
That's the problem.
And they're not reported on CNN, and they're not reported on NBC.
Well, that goes against their narrative.
Exactly. Exactly.
Take care, sir.
John, you know the score, and I appreciate you calling in this evening. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
You know, John makes a good point that that he defended himself, and yet that doesn't get reported. And yet, had it been the other way around, if something negative had happened, if it was a, you know, God forbid, a police officer that had to shoot someone breaking into their house, it would be front page news. if there was a racial component that fit the narrative of the media, it would be championed. It would be breaking news. We would have to have a town hall meeting on it. We would have to invite people to weigh in on a CNN town hall. It would be a big time news, but yet because John defended himself, there was no news. And really, that's the way it should be. It should be that there was no news because nothing happened, and we're certainly glad that nothing in fact happened. We're going to be taking a break here in just a few minutes. I want to kind of get back into an article or a story that I kind of teased about a half an hour or 45 minutes ago, because it is Columbus Day. And Columbus Day is something that I know I've celebrated my whole life, growing up in a small town with a very large Italian component. Columbus Day was kind of a big deal. But now it's not. Well, it's a big deal, but for the wrong reasons. And just today, there was several instances. I didn't print them all out, but there were multiple instances today where statues were defaced, where paint was dumped, where graffiti was painted and spray painted on signs and paintings and murals that depicted Christopher Columbus. And I guess I'm a guy that asks a lot of questions. I ask questions for a living. And as I'm watching these stories, I'm thinking, why are we so eager to seek out people in history to make them scapegoats for the injustices that we've experienced and witnessed? Why is that? And why is Christopher Columbus the fall guy for all of the sins of slavery and the exploitation of indigenous peoples that truly has happened? No one doubts that. No one disputes that indigenous peoples were exploited and taken advantage of. But why is Christopher Columbus the picture, the icon, the fall guy, the scapegoat for all of those things, including like the rape of natural resources in our country? Why has that happened? Because he has become, for the 21st century, he's become the picture of everything that's wrong with our society. But he lived in the 15th century. He lived in the 1400s and died in the 1500s. So why is that? Because vilifying Christopher Columbus isn't going to change the unfairness of history that we all know has happened. It's not going to change that. It's not going to somehow make it better or erase those damaging events of history. But why is Christopher Columbus the picture of sin in today's modern society? I'm going to answer my own questions when we come back from this break, because I think it's a fascinating example of how people can use someone who lived 600 years ago, 500 years ago, and use him as a mechanism to attack the pillars of our Western civilization that exist today. Brad Young sitting in for Ryan Recker on Overnight America on KMOX. Brad Young, welcome back to Overnight America, sitting in for Ryan Recker. Glad you are helping me recover from my post-traumatic baseball disorder. So thank you for sitting in with us this evening on KMOX. We're talking about Christopher Columbus, and I've got some ideas about Christopher Columbus and about the holiday and why it's celebrated and why it's vilified, and I'm going to share those with you in a moment, but there's a website. I don't know if you've been to this website before. It's called campusreform.org. And I've got two of my three daughters have already been through college, and I've got a third that'll be heading there in the not too distant future. So I like to keep track of, and I've done it for quite a long time, keep track of what a college kid's thinking these days, what's going on in their minds. And it was particularly relevant to me this weekend, because I was a judge at my daughter's high school's debate. She's on the debate club. And so I was a judge, and I got to listen to all of these topics that were debated by high school kids from across the St. Louis region. They were all at one location, and I was judging kids from every conceivable high school you could think of. And the first thing that strikes me, and we'll get back to Columbus in just a moment, but the first thing that strikes me is just how sharp and intelligent some of these kids truly are. And it's an eye-opening experience to sit and hear them debate topics and to present information on topics that is equal to, if not better than, what you would hear on any Sunday morning program on television. Meet the Press or Meet the Depressed or whatever the show you like to see. These kids were on it. That was my first impression. The second impression that I had was that all of the topics they were arguing were from, the vast majority were from a far left perspective. A far left perspective. And to me, that was rather disheartening because I thought, you know, these kids have been brainwashed by and large by academia, teaching them that the only worldview that exists for kids who come through our academic system these days is the worldview that supports the far left agenda. And that's really what I heard. So while I was truly encouraged on one hand by the strength of the arguments, by the acumen of the students who were presenting topics and discussing ideas that, you know, I was the only kid in my high school that read the Wall Street Journal. I was truly a nerd. But, there was no way that I was articulate on as many topics in high school as these kids were at the debate conference. It was amazing. And I was just astounded. But then while I was encouraged, I was also discouraged because of the far left agenda of all of the topics. Why do I mention that? Because at campusreform.org, they a lot of times will post videos. And so I wanted to see, what do college students today feel about Christopher Columbus? And here's what I found.
Today we're at Florida International University to find out what students think about Columbus Day. Okay, so Columbus Day is coming up. How do you feel about Columbus Day?
Well, I mean, I'm appreciative, I guess, that he found America, but he did it in the wrong way.
It's conflicting. Supposedly, Columbus discovered America, but really there were the Native Americans already here.
Okay, so Columbus Day is coming up. How do you feel about the holiday?
But everybody knows that it was genocide when he came here.
It's very controversial. He did a lot of bad things. I feel it's very memorable to celebrate a good event.
There's a lot of pretense that he didn't discover America. It was already here. There were natives here already.
So we have Columbus Day coming up. How do you feel about the holiday?
Why is this still a holiday?
Like, I don't like it. I choose that it shouldn't be a holiday, as a matter of fact.
I think it's patriotic and important to recognize.
Do you know who Christopher Columbus was?
The guy who founded the Americas.
What do you know about Christopher Columbus?
He arrived here in 1897.
I definitely felt like schools didn't really teach the whole Christopher Columbus thing until definitely later on.
What do you know about Christopher Columbus?
I know he conquered Puerto Rico.
What do you know about Christopher Columbus?
He was the first one to colonize America.
He founded America.
I think he came over here and he founded America or something. Isn't that right?
Do you know anything about Christopher Columbus?
Yeah.
What do you know?
I mean, I know that he came.
What do you know about Christopher Columbus?
Not much.
He quote unquote discovered the Americas. Which didn't happen because there were people here before then.
What to you is the worst thing that comes to mind about what Columbus did?
Probably spreading diseases.
So there's been a movement in recent years to change Columbus Day to Indigenous Peoples Day. Do you support that movement? And if so, why?
I do, because honestly, they deserve the credit. This was their land. This was their country that we stole. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it, or other words to use. It was a stolen country that we made our own, and we did it through blood.
Because there's a lot more history to it than just finding a new world. He did a lot of atrocities as well, so.
I don't think they should change it because it's something that already happened. It's a very memorable event, and you can't really change history, in my opinion.
Yeah, there's a movement in recent years to replace Columbus Day with Indigenous Peoples Day. You know, they say Columbus coming here caused genocide to follow, and it was against the Native people. How do you feel about that movement? Do you support to get rid of Columbus Day?
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
I don't think it should be a replacement. I do agree that the Indigenous people are overlooked and that there was a lot of genocides and killings after, because we kind of came and raided the whole thing. But I don't think that it should be taken away completely.
It's all history, so I feel like there should be a day to recognize both.
If he's not a good person, then why do we celebrate it?
Instead of getting rid of it, you can just add another day for the Indigenous people.
I think it's fine that we celebrate the fact that he found us for the modern world. Because if he didn't, some other country would have just done it anyways. Same crime would have been committed.
You guys think we should get rid of Columbus Day?
Yeah, I agree. The Native Americans did suffer a lot more than the benefits They were here first, so yeah.
I think we should keep it, just because he took the journey for the country. And just because he did some bad things doesn't mean that we should totally ignore what he did for the modern world at the time.
Do you think we should get rid of Columbus Day?
I mean, yeah, sure. It doesn't really matter to me, but to other people who may be from different areas, they may get offended. So, yeah, I'd be for it.
Do you think we should get rid of Columbus Day and replace it?
I think that'd be cool. Yeah. Fresh, something new, yeah.
Do you support getting rid of Columbus Day and replacing it?
Yes, I do. I think it's actually really important to bring light to the Indians who helped them instead of the other way around. You know, like, we're glorifying a man who did bad things. It's not right.
We'll be right back on Overnight America on KMOX.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.